What if the environmental crisis isn't about plastic straws or carbon footprints, but about something far more fundamental, the very way we organize work and production? While we're told to recycle and buy greener products, a 19th century thinker identified the root problem. Capitalism treats nature as an infinite ATM, withdrawing resources without ever making deposits. This isn't about individual choices or better technology. It's about a system that, by its very design, must consume the world to survive. Even Elon Musk admitted these ecological insights were surprisingly prescient. The contradiction is stark. Capitalism needs nature to function, yet its core logic demands nature's destruction. Capitalism violently separated humans from the land that sustained them. Peasants who once worked common fields were fenced out, forced to sell their labor to survive. This wasn't mere economic restructuring. It fundamentally rewired humanity's relationship with nature. People who understood themselves as part of nature's cycles, embedded in seasons and soil, now saw the world through pure utility. Forests became timber, rivers became power sources, mountains became mineral deposits. Consider your morning coffee. You likely don't know where the beans grew, who picked them, or what chemicals saturated the soil. That disconnection is the point. When production is organized for profit rather than need, both humans and nature become mere inputs, variables in a spreadsheet, not living relationships. Farmers don't decide what to grow based on what the land can sustainably provide. The market makes that decision. The result is a peculiar paradox. We depend entirely on nature for survival, yet treat it as external and expendable, something to conquer rather than cooperate with. Every living thing exchanges matter with its environment, eating, breathing, transforming energy. Humans do this consciously through labor, reshaping nature rather than merely adapting to it. Under capitalism, this metabolic relationship becomes profoundly distorted. Imagine your heart prioritizing speed over sustainability, pumping faster until collapse. That's production organized around profit. Capital treats natural processes as infinitely flexible, but they're not. Forests need decades to mature. Soil requires years to regenerate. Fish populations need time to reproduce. Yet capitalism demands grow now, profit now, expand now. When resources deplete, capital exploits new territories, develops extraction technologies, or works existing resources harder, creating living contradictions where it destroys the very foundations it depends upon while frantically seeking to overcome the limits it creates. The disconnect between economic logic and physical reality becomes obvious during crises. A drought disrupts supply chains, crashes markets, triggers food shortages. Capital's elastic power can't transcend material limits. It can only postpone confronting them, making the eventual reckoning more severe. Under capitalism, our relationships with each other start resembling relationships between things, while things gain apparent agency. You've experienced this, checking stock prices or worrying about what the market will do. We discuss markets as inevitable forces of nature rather than human-created systems we could change. This reflects real social relations. When we produce commodities for exchange rather than direct use, products gain power over us. Farmers grow what fetches the best price, not what feeds hungry people. Factories make profitable things, not useful things. The system inverts. Instead of humans controlling production, production controls humans. We become bearers of economic forces, swept along by market currents we didn't choose and can't escape. This inversion devastates ecosystems. Capitalists can't farm sustainably when competitors cut costs by depleting soil. Logging companies can't preserve forests when shareholders demand quarterly growth. The system's structure forces short-term thinking and environmental destruction, regardless of individual intentions. Workers endure dangerous conditions because they need wages. Capitalists slash safety measures and environmental protections because competition demands it. Everyone becomes trapped in logic serving no one's long-term interests, least of all the planet's. The critique becomes concrete when examining agriculture. In the 1860s, agricultural chemists discovered that modern farming was systematically exhausting soil fertility. Nutrients from food grown in the countryside were consumed in cities, then flushed into rivers as sewage rather than returned to fields. The metabolic cycle was broken. One scientist condemned this as a crime against humanity, warning that European civilization faced collapse through soil depletion. Capitalism's response? Import fertility from elsewhere. British farms spread Peruvian guano, bird droppings accumulated over millennia, across their fields. This solution exemplified ecological imperialism, exhausting resources globally rather than maintaining local cycles. Within years, guano deposits were depleted, triggering resource wars and brutal labor exploitation. The pattern repeats endlessly. Extract, exhaust, move on. Ireland illustrated the human cost. For over a century, England transformed Irish lands into pastures for English livestock. Ireland's population crashed from 8.2 million to 5.5 million in just 25 years, while livestock numbers increased. The land was indirectly exported to England through food shipments, without nutrients ever returning. Soil fertility declined, rural communities disintegrated, and famine killed millions. Yet, from capital's perspective, the system worked perfectly. Later research revealed that soil chemistry alone couldn't explain agricultural sustainability. Climate, forests, and entire ecosystems played crucial roles. Studies across Mediterranean regions showed how deforestation altered rainfall patterns, caused erosion, and collapsed civilizations. Ancient texts described once fertile regions turned barren. The pattern was clear. Clear forests, disrupt water cycles, exhaust soil, abandon land, repeat. This challenged the notion that chemical fertilizers could solve everything. Traditional communities maintained fertility for centuries without modern inputs, working with natural processes. River valleys stayed fertile through periodic flooding. Mountain erosion renewed lowland soils. These communities prohibited exporting wood, straw, and dung, keeping resources local. Production was organized around maintaining cycles, not maximizing short-term extraction. The contrast is stark. Capitalism treats environmental limits as obstacles to overcome through technology, always seeking to transcend natural constraints. But forests need time to grow. Rainfall patterns can't be engineered. Soil formation takes centuries. These aren't problems technology can solve. They're fundamental realities that any sustainable society must work within, not against. The ecological crisis isn't accidental or fixable through better policies within capitalism. Organizing production through value abstract labor time can only recognize nature as a free gift to exploit. Competition forces capitalists to minimize costs, including environmental ones, producing outrageous squandering while ignoring genuine needs. Yet, this reveals possibility. By identifying capitalism's contradictions with nature, we can envision alternatives. A sustainable society requires associated producers consciously regulating their metabolism with nature, organizing production according to human needs and ecological limits rather than profit. This means transforming how we decide what to produce, how to produce it, and for whom. Traditional communities maintain sustainable relationships with land for generations, proving humans can organize production differently. The question isn't whether sustainability is possible, but whether we can create it at modern scale. This demands more than individual consumption choices or carbon markets. It requires democratically controlling production itself. As climate change accelerates and biodiversity collapses, these insights become urgent. The metabolic rift has only widened since the 19th century. The path forward isn't backward to pre-industrial life, but toward consciously regulating our relationship with nature, producing what we need in ways the planet can sustain. Given the alternative, ecological collapse, this isn't utopian dreaming. It's simply necessary.